And my heart is just overwhelmed and overjoyed tonight. And I just claim my joy. I'm happy tonight because I'm not up here for routine. It is an honor for me to get to be up here to do this. You see, God brought me a long way to get to stand here. And it's not just something that my name be magnified. You can just call me John Doe, and I'll be fine with that. That's fine with me. I want God to be magnified. And I want the body of Christ to always have that spirit dwelling within. For if we have that, buddy, we can't go wrong. With the Spirit of God leading us, you cannot be led astray. Knowing the Spirit of God means that you will hear His voice. Knowing and feeling that stirring and presence in your heart means that you will be moved to get up. I'm telling you, you begin to feel the anointing of God, you will not be able to contain yourself. There's just something in you that gets you, makes you want to move, makes you want to get up and praise God, makes you realize that I've been in this place for way too long. I've been sad for way too long. I've been unhappy for way too long. And today, Lord, I'm going to praise you for everything that you've done. Lord, I thank you for the spirit that I feel in my heart. For it's the Spirit of God that keeps me. Only thing that's going to carry me through every trial of my life. I know the enemy might try to rage and steal our mind and steal our heart and make us feel like we're just about this big. But I'm here to tell you, as God would lay it on my heart tonight, that as the Spirit dwells in you, you have the power to get up from there and do what God has called you to do without having to be fearful of what I would think about it, because God gave it to you to do. God gave you the ability to rise up and praise Him. God gave you the ability to walk in victory. He didn't just lay it there, the path of victory in front of you, for you not to walk in it. He didn't give us the ability to say that I claim victory, for us not to sound the trumpet, glory to God. He gave us the ability to leap so that we could leap for joy. He gave us the hands to raise so that He could be magnified tonight. If we don't stir that we feel in our hearts, we'll never realize why we're really here. I could come in and sing three songs, flip through my psalm book, and feel like that they're justified. And might even think they sound great. Might even think that that's the right song for the moment. But without the Spirit of God leading me, I really don't know what God would want me to do. Now, I appreciate and love and admonish and admire people when they ask me to sing something. But if God would lead you another way, I hope that we're bold enough in the Spirit to sing the one that's on our heart. Amen. I would hope that if God's laid something on your heart to do, that you would just go ahead and be bold enough to step out there and do it. That we stop being afraid of the enemy and what he would have to say. That's always so vague. Well, I want to go ahead and explain that tonight. The enemy comes to us in many ways, in many forms. In the beginning of a service, well, I just don't have one. Really? If we don't have one, then we need to come to church prepared. There's something in us that's slacking that needs to be stirred before we ever get in here. And I've been guilty more often than not of that. But God's showing me that there is people that need me to be on a consistent basis to have the Spirit of God flowing in me. Because I realize that the fruit that I'm bearing is not just for me to pluck off of and get blessed. That there are others that come in here that might get blessed off of something that I say. Not to me be the glory, but to God be the glory. Because God needs vessels to be able to draw people by the anointing that dwells in them. But lest we ever use the anointing that dwells in us, they never ever get it. They never get it. Might as well just post it on a poster board outside that says it might be here every now and then, seldom sometimes, but not always.
God wants us to be consistent. And you know how we come in with consistency? With the ways that He laid it out before us.
I felt the Spirit of God tonight, and it stirred me. And I can't even begin to describe to you how many things my mind just rolls back to when I feel the presence of God. How far that I've came in my life. How many trials that God has brought me through. Can somebody relate with me? Can somebody give God praise for a change? Help me out tonight. Has God brought you through a few things? If He's brought you for a few things, then we certainly have reason to come in and have something enough to stir up the Spirit in us. Well, I'm still waiting on God to move in a few things, but we still have reason to give God praise over a few things. When did it ever become that I'll only praise Him when He moves for the things that I have before Him? When did it ever become that? I thought it was always, God, I glorify You for what You've done. Somehow we've went through that transition, and now if our expectations aren't met within a time frame, we just give up on God altogether. We throw our ministry in the trash can, and we're just absolutely fed up with God. Amen, Jared. You don't have to tell me we've been there, because God showed me today that's where we've been. We just take all the things that we've been putting before God, all the hard work, guys, that we've been laboring in prayer for, and all the things that we've been just asking God for and asking God for, and 4 weeks goes by, and we don't see a move, and we're done. We're fed up. Lord ain't moved. I'm done. You see, God has put something on us that's longer than 4 weeks. God has put something in us to stir us, to be able to carry us through all the things that we deal with. You see, God has put something that I would like to word it in a way as a duty. Let me hear somebody say duty. In the book of Malachi chapter 2 verse 10, have we all not one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? I realize that though we have different circumstances, we have the same God tonight. It doesn't matter if it's me or Carolyn Lincoln together in prayer, or if it's me and Angela, or me and my mother, or me and Linda, or me and my father, or me and Tammy. It should not make a difference who it is that I link with. That agreement in the Spirit should be able to be accomplished all the same. Glory to God. God wants us to be in a place where we're not looking at the name or the face, but that the love dwells the same for the body. We serve the same God that's more than able to move. So I shouldn't be looking at who it is that I link up with, but I should just be knowing that they believe just like I do, and that the victory's coming. Because when we're desperate enough, you don't care where the $100 comes from to pay your light bill. If somebody gave you $100, it would pay the bill, wouldn't it? Glory to God. I don't care who it is to praise with me. If we agree together and get a hold of God's Spirit, that's all that matters to me. We serve one God, one mind, one accord. I can't get that across enough. So if there's 30 people that are willing to link up, and 10 other people that are not willing to link up, that's still discord. I wish I didn't have to go there. I wish I could go to the happy stuff. But God always puts me there. If there's just one person in the room that is a believer but is choosing not to believe right then, coming against what God's trying to do, whether you want to accept it or not, it is a direct hindrance to what God's trying to do. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's a direct hindrance. God, those who God has called to know better, and those who God has called to do the deeper works, and those that know what to do and when to do it, we are required to do those things. And when we do not move, even when we do not feel like it, God is requiring our hand to move to those things, because we serve the same God. Therefore, we're all required to move by the same Spirit. Woo! I know that it feels like that we're trudging in the dirt, and sometimes you don't feel like picking up the shovel. I'm here to tell you that I don't feel like picking up the shovel either, but God is requiring that my hand, just like He is in your hand. And we've all got to get in the trench and dig together. Woo! We got to get in there, get down in the trenches to God, reason together, all cry out together, love one another. We have a duty to each other. We're going to read about it. You think this is just an opinion, a common opinion of mine? I wouldn't talk about it if it wasn't the Word of God.
Also in the book of Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. There are going to be those that are full of spirit, full of the anointing, the pillars of the church that know when it's time to get up and take control of a service that God needs us to move in those moments. Because there are going to be those that do not possess as much knowledge, the poor, if you will. We're not talking about riches. We're talking about those that have the knowledge to move in there, okay? And God wants us to move, even when we don't feel like it. Because I'm telling you, I don't even feel like it right now. My body's sore. I don't feel good. But I'm trusting God. You got to trust God sometimes. The enemy's tried to absolutely persuade me to just give up and retire. But you go on anyway. Who is it you're serving? Are you serving the critics or are you serving the God that's able? I hope we're serving the God that's able. Woo. Book of Romans chapter 15. I'm trying to move quicker than I normally do. Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let us, every one of us, please his neighbor for his good to edification. It is our duty to edify each other. Lift you up and encourage you. Let me read another one. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Romans 13:10. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's my duty to reach out to come after you and lift you up and edify you. As God would put it on me. But I'm telling you, it's one thing to go and do it with the Spirit, because it's easy to go out there and do it. But try getting up and doing that in your flesh and doing it. 9 times out of 10, you'll never get off your seat because you'll never feel the compassion. Because when we grow numb outside these doors and come in, we don't want to do anything. We're so consumed in our own stuff. We're so worried about everything else. I know I'm getting real now. It's getting quiet. We're so consumed in everything that we're dealing with. I'm too busy to look at you. Too busy to worry about you. But see, there's something. The Spirit of God comes in the room that I reach out and think about for somebody other than me. It's my duty to not only love, but to edify. How can I edify somebody? I have to perform something to encourage you. If I'm coming in and doing nothing to help nobody, God wants me to do more than that. Well, if I'm not a singer and I'm not a preacher, well, God's given you something else to do. You can be the person that comes in and gives an inspirational verse to somebody. You can come in and tell them that God loves them. You can give them something to encourage them. God has given us all something to do to that it may edify others. It's your duty. It's not something that's optional. Jesus went and paid the ultimate price and performed the ultimate duty when he looked beyond all our mistakes and all our faults and went to the cross on Calvary and died for each and every one of us so that we may have a way of escape. And all that he's requiring of us is that once we find the true fullness of the salvation, that we continue to love as he loved us before we knew the love. He wants us to show the same love for those that are in need, that do not know, that are not acquainted, that are not knowledgeable. We just assume everybody knows God's love. We just assume that everybody's read this from cover to cover, that they know about the love of God, that they know about everything that is in it. They just, most of the time people think that Christians are supposed to be loving people. Some of the most bitter people that I've ever met are proclaimed Christians. And I don't want to do Christian bashing tonight, but I'm here to tell you that some of the most bitter people are Christians. But you know why they're bitter? Because they're bitter towards God. They take it out on others because they're bitter because something has not changed. We're getting back to that place where, God, you've not moved, so I'm done. Bitterness sets in just a little bit. God wants us to have love. Not just my love. I know this is not going to go over well. My love only carries so far. I wish I could admit that my love is enough for everybody in this room. But in my flesh, it's not, guys. My love will eventually run out, and I will not have the desire to want to help you. I'll be human enough to admit that. But the love of God that's in me will help me when I'm lacking in that. To go beyond. You see, if we come in without the Spirit of God, we'll be lacking to help others. And when people go out the same way they came in, that part of us is lacking. That love of God is lacking. There's that part of us that means that we're spiritually lacking. I know that's hard to say. But without the anointing of God, we'll never break the yokes. The strongholds will never be torn down. It'll just be like you walking up to a brick wall in the flesh and screaming at it and saying, I know you're going to fall right now. And there it stands. God is the only one that's able to move on people's lives in this world and the change be done, because I know that He did it for me. I know that He did it for me. He's the only one that's able to reach out to those that are unreachable. He's the only one that's able to put the conviction power on those that you thought could never be reached out to. Well, they're too bitter. They're too angry. God could still reach out to them.
But I can't ever talk to them, Lord, because I'm too angry. What about that love of God that would begin to rise up in you? That love of God will instill qualities in you you never thought could ever be. Forgiveness, mercy, and that grace. Patience. Praise the Lord. I hadn't thought about that. Patience is like one of those things you just got to have in a marriage. Can I get an amen for my married people? Let's keep going. Is this good tonight? Now we're going to get in even a little deeper. Because it's easy to talk about those that we have to perform duties to those that we know. But I want to talk about our duties to our enemies. In other words, those that are working against us. Because, oh man, do we ever not want to do a thing for those that we do not like? Whoo! You mean to tell me that we have something we have to do for those that are working ill against me? Well, let's just read it first and then we'll talk about it. Okay? It's like a good medicine. It tastes bad at first, but if you let it work, it'll be good for you. Proverbs 25. Verses 21, 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. Oh, man. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Oh, man. Another verse that I read, 24:17 of Proverbs. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Ooh, man. And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Oh, we'll talk about the first one first, because I feel like that second one's a huge verse to read. How many of us would be willing to go and give our enemy bread when they've immediately wronged us? I don't see any hands going up, because half the time we're not even willing to look at them. If they were broke down on the side of the road, we wouldn't even stop. Come on, church. And we know good and well if they came into church, we wouldn't even turn around and look at them. I just heard the pin drop. We hear the pin drop. We just feel like that, Lord, I'm justified to feel the way that I do. They've ran me over too many times, and I'm going to have my way this time. I have the right to feel angry. And in my flesh, I guess I would feel that way. But when I was praying about this message, God showed me that the Spirit can rise within you, and you can begin to look beyond all that. And you can have enough Spirit of God in you, enough love in you, that if they came to you hungry, that you could feed them. That if they were thirsty, that you could give them water. Or in other words, if they came and they needed a move of God, that you could lead them to Christ. God wants us to be there. Because if we're not, if we think we can get away with working against somebody, we cannot do that. I'm glad that Christ did not work against me. That He had mercy on me. That He had mercy on that thief. That was on the cross. Joe, I was just in the same shape. I was no better. And He has a place in paradise. As do I. And I want everybody to have a place there. But if my heart is not right and I don't have compassion. Well, Jared, you were delivered from drugs. Yes, I was. But it would be easy for me to say that there ain't no hope for nobody. And I could be just like the popular opinion and say that everybody's trash and that there's no hope. But where are we as the body of Christ? There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is peace and forgiveness. Hallelujah. God doesn't throw nothing away. In fact, He takes all that crumbled up stuff and makes it into something that can be used again. And you might feel like that you are too far gone, but God is not done with you. And God wants us as a body of Christ to be able to feed them and clothe them and put a ring on their finger when they return, Danny. Put a robe on them no matter how far that they have failed.
God wants that love. It is our duty to serve our enemies also. Just because I know them makes it easy to put a robe on their back. I might even know the size that they wear. But just because I don't know them should not make a difference, Faye. I should be able to welcome them in. Should be able to pray for them. If I pray 10 minutes for somebody I know, I should be able to have the same love to pray 10 minutes for somebody I don't know. Woo! We got to be able to reach out to our community and show that we have no bias, that we have no eyes to look at them as the world does, because God did not look at us the same way that the world did He? Praise God. Praise God. He did not look at me in the way that the world was looking at me, the way that I had heard the rumors about me. Did not judge me in the same way, but I came as I was. I gave Him my heart. I surrendered all of my mistakes, and God began to change me. And day by day, He molds me. I'm not perfect, and God is changing me into something that can be used greater and greater. I will never be perfect, but I strive for perfection. I will never feel like that I've hit the mark, but I'm striving for the mark. I know that one day that this, all my mistakes and all the sorrows that I've felt in my life, they'll all be removed from me. All the tears that I've shed in this life will all go away. All the sickness that I've endured will all go away. Oh, glory to God. Give God praise. It's only for a little while that we have to endure the sorrows of this life. But don't you want your friends to go? Of course we do, but we need to have our adversaries there also. Well, I just don't have the love for them right now. God can give you the love for them. I've always found that if the love's not present, that forgiveness is usually what comes first. Once forgiveness comes, then love usually grows. Or at least that's how it is with me. I don't know how it is with others. You might be able to love them and still forgive them later, but forgiveness is what always comes in me. If I have a problem with somebody, I've got to forgive them. And then it just, that compassion grows in me. There's so many people that go to church now, we're going to get back on the real train. So many people go to church, one little thing happens and they refuse to forgive somebody over it. Refuse to serve God the way they used to because of one little thing. Don't do what they used to. Don't get up and serve God and feel the wonderful Holy Ghost. Don't get up and feel the wonderful anointing that they used to because of one little thing. Can you imagine just letting that one boundary finally be gone? Finally just letting it go and letting God's Spirit fill you with love. You'll finally be able to overcome that and get back on where you left off and move on with your life. If He can get enough of us mad at enough of us, we'll sit around and do nothing because we'll have so many mad at so many others. We got so many tied up anymore, and the preachers are afraid to preach anything too hard because they'll think they'll be ran out of the church because it's too much of the truth. Uh-oh. Don't put any pins under my seat. I don't want to get up and praise God. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to cut off my dead limbs. I like the way my tree looks just the way that it is. But you know, God wants the unfruitfulness to be cut off of us. It's the only way that you'll grow. Only way that we'll grow is lest we let God show us. Oh, you'll just have to forgive me for a minute. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I feel like a warning. God don't want us to get too comfortable with the way that we like it. We better be willing to let the limbs fall where they may when the Word of God is spoken. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Leviticus chapter 19 and 34. We talked about our neighbors, the duty that we have to ourselves and our neighbors and our enemies. Well, who does that leave? The duties that we have to strangers, or in other words, those that we don't know. There's a person that we know more than anybody. Then there's those that we do know. Then there's those that we know that work against us. Then there's those that we don't know at all. You mean we have to do things for people we don't know? That's the biggest part of the ministry of God. 19 and 34. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. They'll come in,
You know how you hold a child like that? You wouldn't just drop them if you were holding them, would you? Common sense would tell you not to drop a baby. Common sense would tell you not to leave that child by itself. It would remind you to let you know that if it's crying, that you would feed it. Common sense would tell you that if they were thirsty, that you would feed it. That if it sounded like it was in distress, that you would do all that you knew to do to try to help it. And there are going to be those that come that we do not know, that are going to be as newborns, unknowledgeable, don't know. They don't know the power of God that you have. So if you never utilize the power of God in you, how are they going to know? Maybe I just need to get me a sign that says, I'm a singer and a preacher, and wear it on me. And then I'll never have to get up and sing and preach because they'll know I'm a singer and a preacher, right? Or is it more meaningful if I actually get up to the piano and sing with all my heart? And is it more meaningful if I get up behind the podium and deliver what God would speak unto me? Is it more meaningful just to know that you have something or to actually use what God has given you? I love Doris, but it's more meaningful unto me if she obeys God. I love everybody in here, and I know what God has placed in you. But it's only meaningful to me if you use what God has placed in you. And it's more of a help to you if you obey God. You can sacrifice your trip here, and God sees that. But obedience is greater than your sacrifice. Get dressed up, get in here and sit down and have a seat. That's great. Praise the Lord for you coming. Get up and obey God. You'll enjoy that more than you did the trip. Hallelujah. There, I'm telling you, I could just show up and not do anything, but there is far more pleasure in getting up and doing what God would have me to do. Because when I go out of here, I feel more joy, feel more peace, feel the strength of God that He intended for me to have in me. God did not intend for you to come in here and feel like the world was crashing down. That's why this is a place of refuge. That's why that we're supposed to exhort one another. That's why He put gifts and callings in more than just one person. Used to, it was just the priest that could go into the holies of holies. But now we have the ability to have an advocate with the Father. We all have the ability to stand up and proclaim. In other words, you have the ability to reach out and call out to God yourself. Well, Jared, if you're not here, I just don't know what I'll do. You don't need me to touch the throne room of God. For if you have a willing heart, and you believe, and you reach out to God, and you call out sincerely, He hears that. It does not go to the ceiling and fall back down. That is a deception of the enemy. God hears everything that we ever say, but He wants a sincere cry. He sees those halfway throws. You ever see anybody play catch and they only throw it halfway and somebody has to go halfway over, get the ball, go back to where you started and then throw it? God doesn't want a halfway commitment. There were so many times I cried out for deliverance from drugs and it didn't come because I was still, there was just a part of me that just was not willing to let go. I feel like this is going somewhere. It might not be for drugs. I feel like it's going for something. I was just not willing to let go of something. There was just something in me that just wasn't completely letting God have everything. And Doris, it hindered the move of God. And it was just like I got right there every time. I would get right up to the door and couldn't go through because God saw the intents of my heart. He knew that I was going to turn back. He knew that I wasn't done. He saw my heart. He knew exactly where the intents of my heart was. And He sees us. And if He knows, if we're praying for deeper things in God and we're not willing to lay down a few things to go and get the deeper things, He sees the intents of our heart. And God knows when we really want it or when we don't. And God knows when we're ready to move forward or whether we're still satisfied right here and it was just words. I wish I didn't have to say things like that. But God knows. He doesn't want halfway. He doesn't want 75%. He wants a full-blown commitment. See, the very things that we feel like we can hang on to and get away with before God, the change can't happen because we're hanging on to baggage. We have to let go of those things that we feel like are hindering us. To me, when I'm getting in people in prayer, I try to tell them the first thing that's coming to mind that you feel like's hindering you is generally the thing that it is, however silly that it might be. And I'm telling you, it's great not carrying around a whole lot on your back. Man, if you can let go of something, just go ahead and throw it out of your bag. How many of us hate
carrying a laundry basket around with a full load of clothes in it. How many of us actually do laundry? I was wondering why I didn't get a good response there. Matthew 25:35, it's the last scripture. Some of us are saying, thank you, Jesus. Matthew 25:35, for I was and hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty. These are the words of Christ now, more meaningful. And you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. We got to be willing, guys, to let go of flesh, let go of all the stuff. Be willing to command a church service when the time calls for you to move. Because we can easily let something be stale, let something not be stirred, let something not be anointed, and it just be routine. I can turn on the television and watch a routine church service. I don't even have to come. I don't want to attend those. I want to attend anointed services. And I know that we're more than able to step into the anointing. But it has to be two or three. And we got to agree. You know what makes all these duties come into place? If I have not charity, guys. And that's it. That's what broke my spirit tonight. That's what inspired me with all that. If I don't have love. You could understand all the mysteries, as Paul was saying. You could understand all of it. Have it all figured out, if you will. You can know the Bible front to back and tell me more than I'm knowledgeable in it. But without charity, we're not going to profit anybody anything. We'll be a tinkling cymbal in here. We'll be just like those two on top of the kit. It'll just be noise, and people will turn around and go out and be like, well, that was a pleasant sound. That sounded good. Preaching sounded good. They didn't get anything in here. There wasn't anything that drew them that made them feel like that there's needed change. If we're not getting people to a place where they feel like they need change, we're not doing our job. We're not performing our duty. That's the bottom line. And I don't want us to go out feeling like that we count ourselves as failures, but I want us to realize that we have something to do. There's a lot of people that are saying, I'm wondering where my place is in the house of God. I don't really feel like it's singing. I don't really feel like it's preaching. I don't really feel like it's this, or I don't really feel like it's that. God has something for all of us to do. Reaching out to others is more than enough. If you want this microphone, you go right ahead and take it, because God showed me I can go and reach out to others. God has something for everybody. Amen. I hope that we go out thinking about what we can do to change the way that we live our lifestyle. How can I improve the way that I'm around people that irritate me? Because I have people like that around me. I don't know if you have... You know, if you deal with people via email, but there's sometimes that emails come through where I work that I just want to reply back and really just let them know what's on my mind, because I feel like that it's wronging me. But God just quickens me and I say nothing, because I realize what that is trying to do. And when they come into my presence, I learn to be something that God wants me to be, somebody of love and of compassion. Come on now, somebody. We have to learn to be loving individual to everybody, our enemies, our friends, our neighbors, even to ourselves. How many knows the biggest critic in the room is yourself? Sometimes I go out of here and I'm so hard on myself that I can't hardly find the courage to get back up and do it all over again. Has anybody else been there? Any ministers of God? It's hard to get up and, well, it's hard for me to ever obey the Lord because I just don't feel confident that it was effective. What are you basing your grounds on? Are you basing that it was effective because they didn't respond to you? It doesn't matter if they respond to you or not. It's not in the response of others. I had to learn that a long time ago. Because I've heard the crickets chirping, and I'm thinking, Lord, if the crickets chirp, I'll take that as your praise. But it's not in the crickets either. It's in what you're offering to God. If God gave it to you, all you have to do is give it back to God. If God leads you to speak it to one person, you give it to that person because God wanted you to give it. Because you're just giving it back to Him. If He gave it to you to sing in front of a multitude of people, well, I'm a really nervous person. Well, you got to do it anyway because that's what God wants you to do. And whether you choose to do it now or 6 months from now, you're going to go around the same mountain and the same trials in your life until you choose to do it. Will I really? Go ahead and try it if you want to, but I urge you not to. Be different and just do it. Come on now. Be real. Address your issues. Look at it and say, God, I want to be more obedient. Lord, the next time they ask me to sing, I'm going. I'm going to get up and do it. God, if they ask me if I want to preach on Friday, I'm not going to be nervous. I'm going to do it. Uh-oh. Hello, crickets. I know we get nervous because we feel like that oftentimes compare ourselves
But it's not a comparison. Not when it comes to the house of God. This is not American Idol. This is not a competition. This is not a who can do it better. This is all about giving glory to God. Amen. Sometimes five words from a sincere heart could do more than what I've done tonight. Really? You just try it. Thank God for saving me from somebody who's had more of an impact than an entire message before if it was sincere.